This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 435, recorded September 16th, 2015. I'm your host, Brian Kilby, and with me this week we have Diecast, Don, Matt, and John DeLuna. Rob Clay and XV are on assignment, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, so let's see here. Don, your video went out. Don!
Come back, sorry, Don.
Don, your video.
Dagnabbit, that's a frackin' frick frack.
So, I was hoping that we would have a show today without any technical difficulties, but there's one right there in the first 30 seconds.
You know
seconds.
What? If this was primetime news, you telling the audience that XV and Rob were on assignment, that's really code for, like, they got a DWI. That's
well,
like
you're,
local news.
You were a news producer, so you know this stuff.
Yeah. I'd be like, oh, they're in jail.
Now, the funny thing is, I didn't realize how common TV producers or news producers are.
Like a lot of local channels out there.
Yeah, I mean, like, I have, counting you, I have several friends who have been TV news producers, and three of them were on my old team at work, and another friend of mine is married to one. So, God, it's such a common job. I had no idea.
It's like a step up above janitor. Day janitor, not night janitor.
All our TV producer friends out there, we apologize. Hey, Diecast, you went to RetroCon this weekend.
Yes, I did.
I saw Facebook posts, photos, videos, and from a lot of people, not just you. So that seems to be a bigger convention than I thought.
Yeah, it's pretty big. It's in a pretty big room. They have panels that this time it was 2 days. I think that was the first time. I could be wrong, but I think that was the first time it was a 2-day event. Rick Alvarez was there from Play With This Too,
and
I got to talk to him.
He's also on a
YLP. I got to talk to him, hang out with him, and take some photos of the prototypes he has. So I believe that's supposed to start on Kickstarter on Friday. So it's a big day to him,
possibly.
And I wish him well.
We'll share that out once that goes up.
And there was a lot of stuff there, especially, like, it's not just Transformers. I mean, it's retro, so anything 80s. There's a lot of video games there. There's a lot of stuff. Like, I always take my steps on there, and he's always interested in video games.
What's the biggest property that shows up at RetroCon? Is it Transformers or is it something else?
Oh, it's a good mix. I mean, there's Star Wars, there's Transformers, there's G.I. Joe. There was some mask stuff I saw.
But
some
is there
Dino Rider stuff in the box.
Visionaries?
There's probably some stuff I even missed just because, I only...
Smurfs?
Noticed so much
Rainbow
stuff.
Rainbow Bright? Strawberry Shortcake?
I did not see any Rainbow Bright. I didn't see any Kim Possible for Don.
What about the Get Along Gang? Or the Shirt Tales?
Yeah.
There's a huge Get Along Gang contingent on the internet.
Now, Brian, Rainbow Bright is busy battling the evil forces of Warner Brothers to put color back in their movies.
Godspeed, Rainbow Bright.
Yeah.
Godspeed. Mm.
Good job, good job. So, I'm surprised there are not more people that are, like, into the Get Along Gang or the Berenstain Bears or something. I have nostalgia for that stuff.
I think a lot of kids, like, grew out of that really quickly.
Yeah. I'm having problems remembering what the Get Along Gang is.
What about the Adventures of the Little Koala?
I remember that. Yeah. Is there, like, doesn't that get lumped into, like, just overall Nickelodeon nostalgia?
Yeah, Pinwheel.
Yeah. Today's special.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
But, you know, I saw the pictures, you know, Diecast with the Dino Riders, and I remember them being on the shelves and just looking awesome, but there was so much Transformers out there, and I didn't buy any of the Dino Riders.
And they're so big. Like,
yeah,
I don't know if they would ever do that again. Those toys were
Awesome. They were huge. Them and the Sectors. Those were some big toys as well, you know, because they were, you know, gloves. But
Rick Alvarez found a bat, like a bat cave from Batman Forever, and it would, the box was huge. I was like, oh, I can't imagine anything being that big on like Toys R Us shelves or Walmart shelves anymore.
They've got a 24 inch tall Leonardo that turns into a playset now. Basically, he's as tall as Fortress Maximus.
That Star Wars Millennium Falcon is being reissued for the new movie.
Which one? Powers of the Force?
The huge one.
Interesting. I kind of always wanted that.
But they've changed the radar dish, so it matches the new movie.
Oh, okay.
And like, they're reissuing it, yeah.
Interesting. And it comes with an old Han Solo, I guess. Interesting.
Probably.
Interesting. So, is Ghostbusters a thing anymore?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes. There's Ghostbusters people walking around at RetroCon dressed up like Ghostbusters. So
interesting.
Well, the one guy even had the walk. He was like, da-da-da-da. Yeah, he was pretty good.
Yeah. Plus, also, Brian, you've got the Mattel recently did some of the equipment, like the Ecto goggles and the PKE meter. You've got the upcoming Lady Ghostbuster movie.
Yeah. When you say Mattel, you mean like the Maddie Collector stuff?
Yeah, Collector stuff.
Interesting. Very cool. Okay, cool. Anything else, Diecast, about RetroCon?
No, I mean you guys should come up and enjoy it with me next year. At least Matt, he's kind of close enough where he could possibly come up and enjoy it with me.
Yeah, and I could come up and explain what half the stuff is.
Yeah. Hey, so while we're talking about conventions, a friend of mine on Facebook, on a private group, started sharing photos from BotCon 99. And even though I wasn't at BotCon 99, most of my friends there in the photos are my same age. And if you're taking part of the RSC drinking game, go ahead and take a shot, because I haven't felt so old in the longest time.
Those photos look like they're 50 years old.
I know. And there was a photo of Don hanging out with them. And Don was basically in that photo our age now. And he looks so young. And he looks so young.
I was surprised how he was in the background of that picture. And I was like, I didn't want to say it, but I was like, wow, that looks creepy. Don's just in the background like.
Yeah, he was there.
Straight,
you know.
Faced. And
well, now, that was St. Paul, right?
Yeah, St. Paul.
That was St. Paul, yeah. I think I was just really tired from the trip and everything. That happened not long after I landed, I think. And I was just kind of just, you know, there.
Yeah, I wish I was there. I know what I was doing at that time, though. I was hanging out in the IRC channel where all of our friends there congregated, talking to a couple people who probably aren't around anymore. Saying, like, I wish I was at BotCon.
Yeah, that used to be the thing to do.
That was the thing to do, like posting on Alt Toys Transformers or on IRC while everyone else is at BotCon and nothing's happening. It's like, wish I was at BotCon.
We have to wait till they come back from BotCon to get the news.
Yes! It was so weird.
Yeah, I can't even imagine that now.
Like,
when
now,
we get news, like, as soon as it happens, like, 2 seconds later, and it's there.
And this isn't a knock against BotCon. This is just the way things are going.
Reality.
You don't even have to go to the convention to experience it anymore.
Yeah.
Like, at all. I mean, seriously.
Like, I feel special when I go to New York Comic Con or a Toy Fair, and you have this, you know, 45-minute, hour-long presentation before anyone can do any real news. Well, we can tweet, but that's about it. We can't do photos or pictures. Yeah. So it's tweet only, and that's like special. Like, hey, I'm seeing this stuff, and people are just reading it, and they have no idea what it looks like. And that lasts for an hour, and it's over.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, breaking news. I don't know if this is true. And it's only tangentially related. But I say it's breaking. I literally just saw the story post at CBR, Comic Book Resources. According to The Hollywood Reporter, Stanley Weston, who created the concept of basically G.I. Joe, they are trying to retake the rights from Hasbro. Wah, wah. So, if you...
I don't see that happening.
If it did, what would it matter?
Yeah.
So they think they can run the property better?
And today happens to be the 30th anniversary of the airing of the first regular episode of G.I. Joe, apparently.
Oh, well, I mean, they can't do much worse.
Yes.
That would have been Mass Device.
Mass
right?
Device was the... It was a miniseries.
Yeah.
So that was earlier.
The regular. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So, interestingly enough.
I missed G.I. Joe.
Yeah, me too. I missed that being a thing, but nobody supported it, so.
Yeah.
I remember I saw on Twitter a while ago someone was talking about they saw the movie opening for the first time, and it was just so crazy afterwards. I said, well, the movie opening is the best part of the movie.
Oh, far and away. Far and away, absolutely.
It's pretty iconic.
Yeah,
the movie's not bad, but the opening
is
just...
It goes way off the rails, though. Like,
it's not
way
bad
out in left field.
It's not like Transformers. It's not bad. It's just not
Transformers
great.
Is 100 times the movie G.I. Joe.
Oh, no, not even close.
Oh, yes.
G.I. Joe is a much better movie than Transformers the movie.
Dear Lord, it's not.
Yes, it is. Transformers the movie is genuinely bad.
What a fight.
G.I. Joe is just mediocre. But I love Transformers movie, don't get me wrong, but it's a bad movie. G.I. Joe is just mediocre.
Transformers the movie introduced some things that I love. I'm not sure.
G.I.
I think
Joe's
like the number of
tame.
Things. Yeah, the number of things that G.I. Joe the movie produced that I love, it's a lot shorter list.
Oh, absolutely. No, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I love season 3.
I know
three,
what you're saying.
But I mean, as far as movies go and, you know, qualitatively speaking, G.I. Joe is better.
I actually would like G.I. Joe the movie a lot more if it was kind of the finale of the series.
It should have
been.
Because,
like, after that story, where do you go?
Well, I mean, how long until the Deke
the
series
Deke?
Showed up? It was. I mean, Deke wasn't like it just it showed up the next cycle in the year. Mm-hmm. Wasn't it like a year or so later that the Deke series started?
Yeah, something like that.
Well, the main thing is, though, for all of its faults, the animated movie is still better than the live-action ones in my opinion.
I kind
of
like the second one.
The second one's fun. I don't mind the first one. It's just kind of
I couldn't
the
make it through
terrible.
The first one. I didn't even watch the second
one. The first one is terrible. The second one's honestly kind of fun.
You mean Revenge of the Fallen?
No,
G.I. Joe. Darn.
Oh,
but the
sorry.
Second one is just like, yeah, we're doing the 80s property. Like, they kind of just took off.
I might have to try that.
It's
I might
worth
have
watching.
To try that one out. Yeah.
It's worth watching. And now that
but I've... the first one's an abomination that I couldn't stand for more than 5 minutes.
It's terrible. It is terrible.
Wait. There's two G.I. Joe movies?
Yes. They made a sequel. Sequel starred The Rock.
Oh, okay. You're
and
saying
Bruce Willis.
Okay, you're doing live action. I'm sorry. I didn't realize you switched. I'm thinking animated, and I didn't realize you made the switch to live action.
Keep
I'm
up, Don.
Yeah.
Come on.
So now that
they
I've
both made good money, apparently, too.
I think they did okay.
Yeah, I mean, they did enough to warrant a third one, which apparently everybody doesn't want to do.
Yeah. Okay. So I've pissed off all the Transformers movie fans. I apologize. Let's go ahead and move along. So, hey,
that's what happens when you go sprouting wrong opinions, Brian.
It's only like 90% of our audience.
I know. So I got some stuff this week. It was stuff that Melvar got last week. So if you want to hear about it, just go back and listen to last week's episode. And Melvar and I pretty much are in total agreement about the toys. So
Blue Streak is
beautiful.
A thing of beauty.
Beautiful.
Everyone needs one. Your
it's
life
beautiful.
Will not be complete until you have one.
It makes me – so I like it so much, I want to get that Silver Streak version.
I kind of thought the same thing, and I hate myself a little bit for it.
The one
I already
have
us? Four.
Or the other
one.
Or is there another one?
There's another one. There's one that –
the Silver Streak.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
The one that we all thought we were getting Blue Streak from the first time.
I have the Silver Streak. It's the knockoff version, but – I was like, at least I got the Silver Streak.
Yeah.
Now and if it's the same paint scheme, like if this is close to what, it's not worth it. Just stick with the blue streak and you'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if somewhere they're going to pull out the Universe Prowl or the Universe Silver Streak mold and do it as an exclusive in blue.
You mean the color or the mold?
The mold and do it as a...
If they were smart, they threw that mold away.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just saying, for a store exclusive or maybe a web exclusive, and they wanted something cheaper than the Masterpiece version. I'm just wondering if we'll see that anytime in the next six months.
It won't be much cheaper than the Masterpiece version if they got to pull it out and do a deco just for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see here. Did I get anything that Melvar didn't mention? I got the Kabaya box, the box of the eight, the retail box of the Kabaya Seacons. So it's the six pieces plus two extra.
I'm sorry.
Why are you saying that?
I don't know. Kabaya is just...
I love that stuff.
Well, they're gum kits. Gum being a stretch of the word for that product.
I got a tummy ache after eating a couple pieces of it. It's not great. But no, I love that stuff. What's the phrase? My jam. I love that stuff.
I still need to pick up Fortress Magnus at some point. I still haven't picked up Fortress.
It's great.
Magnus.
That's like people who are into the Q Transformers. I mean, it's a thing. It's just not my thing.
So keep in mind, I was steeped in the era, which the mini cast upcoming with John Ant really talks about this, back when there was not a whole lot of stuff. So anytime anything popped up, like those Q Transformers or gum kits or anything, I was all about it because that was like the best stuff that we got. You know, now that we're spoiled and we get, you know, masterpiece versions of these characters and everything, a lot of people just have forsaken that stuff, but I still like it. It still holds a very special place for me because it's kind of cool, and it's not just the generic stuff that you see. Or generic's not the right word.
The Q-former stuff kind of reminds me of the bot shots.
Bot shots.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that's, you know, honestly, if I know they're not the same thing, but if you showed me a picture of a bot shot or a Q Transformer and told me that it was the other one, you know, if you told me a Q Transformer was a bot shot or vice versa, I'd probably believe you. But yeah, so I got that. Let's see here. Anything else? I didn't open my Legends figures.
Override runabout.
Yeah, I did open G2 Bumblebee. And sure is a gold repaint of that Bumblebee toy.
Yes.
Well,
yes,
what did you expect?
So. And you know what? When we get the red version, it'll sure be a red repaint of that same mold.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And I'll buy it because I'm a sucker.
I already have pre-ordered.
Me too.
It's not like they can do a lot of paint colors on it.
I hate them so much. But
yeah, yes, they can, Diecast. Though, remember the entire Argentine run.
No,
yeah.
I mean like multiple paint colors on the same mold. Like blue streak is blue. It has a bunch.
I don't think they'll do that with Bumblebee, but I'm pretty sure we'll see a blue version.
We get a
Herbie, blue use of that mold.
A Herbie the Love Bug version.
Oh god, that would be horrible.
Hey, did anybody else get anything? I know Diecast had to.
Well, I kind of got something. It's not a Transformer, but it is a car.
Oh, you got a new Corvette.
Yeah. Because Bumblebee was getting a little old.
So I asked him what model it was. He was like, huh? I'm like, what year is it? He's like, oh, it's 2016. I'm like, oh, of course.
It's a Stingray. No, my answer was Stingray. No,
you did. You did.
But
So it's a very pretty car. It's very white. And very.
I can't pick a name, though. I want a Transformers name for my car, and I just haven't.
Listeners, send Diecast, tweet him at Diecast2 with suggestions for his Corvette.
He's looking for a white car. I'm trying to talk him into either drift or downshift. So.
Now I like downshift, but I'm a big Omnibot fan. Hey, Diecast, why don't you put another picture up on Twitter so people watching now will know what to look at?
Okay.
Yeah, do it. We'll retweet it out. That'd be great.
Yeah.
So, okay, so you're not buying any more Transformers for the longest time.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go back just a tad.
Okay, so I'm going to share this out. I never shared the stuff that we talk about in the chat, but Don was looking at a GT Mustang, and Matt just typed out, "See, Don, Diecast bought a midlife crisis car. You should, too." Yeah, so everybody tweet at HMRC4EVR and tell Don that he needs to get that GT Mustang that he saw.
But I can't drive it. It's
You can learn.
You can learn.
I'm not going to learn on a $20,000 Mustang.
Why? I've learned on people's $50,000 cars. So
you can learn on my $2,000 truck after you buy it.
No, I will stick with my F-150 and my mom's Honda.
A new car, you're less likely to go through the clutch because it's brand new. An old car with a really old clutch, that's when you really have to know how to drive it so you're not burning the clutch up.
Outside video games, I have no hand-eye coordination.
Bowling, Don. We saw you bowl fantastically well, right?
Exactly.
We'll just put some Phil Collins on the car stereo and let you go.
It's foot-hand coordination. That's all you need.
My foot's going to go somewhere in a minute.
You can feel the machine, and you can feel when it needs to be shifted. You don't even need to be looking. You probably should be looking for other things while you're driving, but you don't need to. You don't need to see to be able to shift.
It was just a spur of the moment thing. I had a flash of testosterone. It passed. I'm back to not caring. So
I got my shot of estrogen to even it out. I'm good to go.
Pretty nice. Okay, so anybody else that didn't get like a $75,000 car?
I didn't pick up anything. Everything I've got still pending, waiting on orders to come in.
Okay. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and jump to This Week in History. So, This Week in History, 1987, Family Home Video releases Transformers the Movie and The Return of Optimus Prime on VHS and Beta in the United States.
And it was epic.
Yeah, I still like...
Because it's better than G.I. Joe the movie.
Okay. Return of Optimus Prime, I might say that it is. I love The Return of Optimus Prime, like, so much. I really do. But I can close my eyes and hear that sound effect of the FHE logo. That really awful 80s sound where the logo, like, rises up on the screen. Man, it's pretty great.
Because I remember, I've mentioned this before, not long after the movie came out, they were doing a promotion that if you bought a Transformer $4.99 or more and sent in the proof of receipt and the little coupon, that you could get Transformers the Movie for $2.75 on VHS.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, and there was a toy store called Tons of Toys in Greensboro, and I bought Pretender Doubleheader.
Oh, nice.
And I remember getting the video in, and I remember watching it and I remember my father was watching it with me for the first time when I was watching it downstairs. We only had one VCR, of course, because they were expensive back then. And he said, "Why don't they just rebuild him?"
Because they can't.
Yeah, they just can't. This is one of those things that can't be. And he was wondering, well, just go fix them or replace this. Like, he didn't understand the gravity of the situation.
I mean, in any other circumstance, they would just fix him.
Like Ultra Magnus, you know, an hour later into the movie. But
I mean, he was dismembered. the Junkions fixed him up pretty quick. So yeah, man, but I love Return of Optimus Prime like so much. It's not my favorite episode, but it's just I enjoy it every time I watch it. I just like to see the interplay between Optimus Prime and Galvatron, even though it's basically Optimus Prime and Megatron, but not an inept, useless, worthless Megatron. It's Galvatron, so he's actually pretty good.
Crazy powerful Megatron.
Yeah. Galvatron is so much better. I saw on Facebook these people debating on. Actually, there's no debate. The question was, who's better, Galvatron or Megatron? Everybody's like Megatron. I'm like, did you watch an episode of the Transformers? The answer is clearly no. Okay. Jumping to the news. Dame Chalk on Facebook reported that G2 Superion has appeared at Chinese retail. It's about $86 in the local currency, which is... And I'm pretty sure that Rob was channeling Don when he wrote this story on T-Formers. He said, "That's a good deal." And that's awesome. And I'm going to try to show video. If it crashes, apologies. So
$86 for a full combiner with the bonus Legends figure is a really good deal.
I'm going to buy it.
You know what bothers me about this? It's already hitting, and we don't even know what retailer it's going to be at.
Do we know that it's going to be an exclusive?
You're just going to buy it online anyway.
No, we don't know. The difference. But like I mean,
you're just
going to
buy it through tfradio.net/Amazon.
Yes,
I was about to say, I hope that Amazon gets it because that will be where I buy it from.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Unless they get it really late and you know, kind of like the Devastator thing.
I couldn't remember if this was announced that it was going to be a store exclusive or what.
They didn't say.
What about Victorion? The same difference.
See, yeah, same thing. It's a box set.
No, we haven't heard anything about that yet. Yeah.
Yeah, I just figured it'd be like an exclusive to like a web store or something. So
now we know the order though, because it's going to be Superion, Menasor, and then the other one, the fan belt's going to be last. Victorion.
Yeah, it's last in my heart too.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I
like it. I want to like it more than I do.
That's exactly where I'm at.
That if might the, be the if, one I if, skip.
Maybe if some of the names were better, that would help. But Rust Dust is a terrible name.
It is terrible.
Just got awful.
I think its saving grace, though, is that it comes in a box set. Because otherwise, it would just be completely unsellable as is on the shelf. Because it'd basically be like buying like Garbage Pail Kids, where it's the same art with different names. It would just get confusing.
I wish they wouldn't have done the color scheme that carries over from figure to figure. I would have liked to have seen a little more variation. Just
yeah. Okay, let's see here. So, moving along, Masterpiece Ironhide, old familiar faces in vehicle mode. John, why don't you tell us about that?
Yo. I don't know what to say other than this is like if you hire a guy, a contractor, to build a house. And he builds the worst house you could imagine and doesn't follow your vision at all. But when he's done, he comes to you and says, on the bright side, I painted the kitchen your favorite color. And if he expects you to do a 180 on this smoking pile of S that he's built, it ain't happening. So what I mean to say is Masterpiece Ironhide has the little G1 crazy G1 toy faces inside the, I guess the
windshield
front row seat of the van. So
that's so they can do the black repaint, the black Diaclone repaint down the line, I'm sure.
And also to like say, hey nerds, don't hate us too much because we put this awesome random reference in here.
Not helping.
Yeah.
And you know you're gonna buy it because it's official.
I'm not.
Don't hate us.
You'll get it because it's official, and you'll get Ratchet, and you'll get the Black Diaclone, and you'll get the Green Ratchet because you know they're going to release them all.
And I
gotta catch them all.
I have the two Aguirre versions. I sold my Classics versions. I am perfectly fine with the two. Don,
you have the two Aguirre versions.
I've mentioned that several times in the past. Yes.
Yeah, he mentions it every week.
Wow. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Every time we mention Ironhide, he says that.
Well, I'm just saying I'm happy with those. I don't like the looks of this Ratchet. This Ironhide. I can't imagine Ratchet being any better. Please, Takara, prove me wrong.
So what you're saying is the Aguirre ones are okay.
Yeah, they look better. They're just a tad short. Tad short for scale, but they visually are fine.
Now, we were actually having an argument between us about the Voodoo because it didn't look that great from behind. But I don't think Masterpiece Ironhide looks...
Ryan is offended by all the screw holes.
There's so many screw holes in the back of it.
There's screw holes on Masterpiece Ironhide on the back,
too. It looks nothing... It looks like...
There are huge gaps where there's nothing, and then tires folded around on his butt on the official one, and that looks better than some screw holes that you can easily cover up with stickers.
I guess if you covered it up with stickers, it wouldn't be so bad. But
yeah,
it just
no repro labels will get to that.
It looks like it's pot marked and like cratered on the back. It's just
are
got
you
so
gonna,
many.
Are you gonna when you put it on your shelf? Are you gonna face it so you can see the front of the figure or the back of the figure?
So okay, that's a great question. And the thing is, when it comes to these toys, a lot of third party companies make concessions on the toys, especially like on the like even DX9. Make concessions on the back side of the toy because, oh, well, you're just going to pose it on the shelf. So why even bother with the back?
Well, I mean, some of those companies will also send little plastic plugs to cover up.
I have nothing to do with holes. I mean, potholes. I'm talking about like just complete gaps and stuff. Stuff, again, that's missed, you know, like it's missing a Masterpiece Ironhide. But if I'm spending $150 on something, I want it to be pretty freaking awesome.
But, I mean, there's so much engineering to get it to look show accurate or show accurate as they can. Sometimes there has to be a compromise.
If you can't do it, don't sell it.
On the backside, because that's the least likely place that people will be offended.
I'm not disagreeing. But if you're selling something for the cost, you know, to me, the Takara version from behind looks better. I'm not saying it looks great. I'm not saying the toy looks great.
I look forward to you getting that in hand so we can hear what you really think of it.
In general, the toy kind of looks like butt.
I look forward to all of you guys getting various versions of Ironhide or not Ironhide and hating all of them.
Yeah, that's pretty much what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's.
And then Don will be happy. I got my high gear version and he still loves it and he didn't spend an extra cent on it. Yeah. So while we have that out of the way, hey, Matt, tell us about the new art that we've got from Sins of the Wreckers.
Okay, so IDW artist Nick Roche has posted a first look at a sketch of how RC is going to appear in Sins of the Wreckers, the follow-up to the ever-popular Last Stand of the Wreckers. And he promises that there will be much scowling RC content in there, because as we all know, IDW RC is rather foul-tempered.
So we've talked about it before, but I'm not really looking forward to this.
I am divided on this. First of all, James Roberts is not involved with this, who was very much involved with Last Stand of the Wreckers. This is all Nick Roche. But Nick Roche was...
the writer.
Yeah, Nick Roche was involved with Last Stand of the Wreckers, but this is all Nick Roche. He's covering writing and I think interiors as well. But
yeah,
it's going to be a different kind of story with a different cast, and I think Last Stand of the Wreckers should have been the Last Stand of the Wreckers. I don't see how a follow-up is going to be able to...
I mean, I don't see that it's necessary, because what made Last Stand of the Wreckers so great was that it was a good, serious attempt at a Transformer story.
And it was a natural closing point.
Yeah, and it existed in a pre-more-than-meets-the-eye world. Now that we live in a post-more-than-meets-the-eye world, it's not really necessary.
Now, if I get Springer and Impactor back, great, but this is going to have to do something special to turn me around.
Now, not having read Last Stand of the Wreckers yet...
It's wonderful. Go read it now.
The parallel that I'm seeing, Brian, are you afraid this is a Dark Knight Returns?
I am afraid this is Dark Knight Strikes Again.
Okay, so that seems like that's kind of the sequel no one really asked for.
But that's the thing. People have been begging for this.
Oh, they have? Okay. All right.
Last Stand of the Wreckers is hugely popular, and for good reason. It's a very good story. But I am not one of the people who was calling for a sequel. I was perfectly fine with what I had.
Yeah, I don't need it.
I'll read it. I hope to be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, if it's good. So here's the thing. So it's not like Dark Knight Strikes Again, because Dark Knight Returns, my most favorite comic of all time. Love it. And, you know, that was, 13 years later, something like that, 14, 15 years later, 16 years later. The sequel comes out, hoping it was great. It wasn't. Well, it hasn't been that incredibly long since Last Stand of the Wreckers won. It's not like we're not getting good Transformers comics on a weekly basis, or monthly basis, anyway. And, you know, ultimately, if it's bad, it's just going to be another Transformers comic in a sea of great Transformers comics. So it's not really going to have that big of an impact. So, you know, I guess I'm fine with it. It doesn't mean as much to me as the terrible sequel to Dark Knight Returns.
I'm absolutely willing to give this a shot. I hope it's good. It's not like they just, you know, pulled somebody off the street and go, here, write a Wrecker story.
Yeah.
You know, they got Nick Roche involved. You know, it's his story. It's his idea. So there's hope.
Mm. Let's hope Arcee's not running around colored like Cheetor. Then we'll have an issue.
Yeah, there you go. So, Diecast, tell us about the Kreon Battle Changers that shown up.
Oh, to my chagrin, they're actually showing up at discount stores. So that means my personal experience with the Transformers at the discount stores is they're not that plentiful. So they may have, like, you know, one box. And then, so if you're really trying to get them, it's kind of hard to locate them at a discount store unless they have tons and tons of stock, which usually does not happen at the discount stores. But they were spotted at a Marshall's, and they said the price of the Battle Changers is given as $7.99. I don't know how widespread this is, and I actually thought I heard of them hitting discount stores before. So hopefully we see them, and hopefully they're plentiful, because there's nowhere else to get these that I know of.
Yeah,
Toys R Us never stocked them.
Never saw them.
It's such a disappointment. I saw some of these in person at New York Comic Con, and some of these looked really good, the ones that actually transformed and stuff, and they had a neat little gimmick. They all had, like, capture compartments for the Autobot or Decepticon that you captured, which I thought was neat. So I think it's a series that didn't need to die, and what they were doing was pretty cool. And it's unfortunate that probably their only retailer, Toys R Us, ended up dropping them.
Yeah. Sadness. Really want them. Hopefully I have a friend out there that can find them for me. Hey, so, big news-ish. So Cartoon Network has been airing Robots in Disguise on the weekends. What, like 6:30 in the morning? On Saturday? Something like that. Well, now it will be aired during the week. Still at 6:30, so the time hasn't changed. But if you get up that early anyway, that's actually too late for me to watch it, because I'm already on the way to work.
I'm already at work.
Yeah. But it's at least now, like, I can't get up at 6:30 on Saturday. I mean, if I do, I did this past Saturday, but it's just so hard because I try to catch up on sleep. So now, at the very least, it is being played more often. So hopefully you will have a better chance of seeing it.
Plus, you know, a lot of kids are already up or about to get up at that time and get ready for school. So
that's the time I watched G2 back in the day. So I watched G2 before school back then. And actually, if I'm not wrong, the Tommy Kennedy season 5 or whatever we actually called that. I think that actually aired like at 6:30 on Saturdays when I was a kid, and I actually did get up for that.
Yeah, I remember on 48, but I don't remember what time it came on.
It was early on Saturdays. Okay, let's see here. What else we have here? What's next? Oh yeah, Don. We have some new photos of Legends Armada Thundercracker.
Right. I actually had forgotten that this was actually Starscream Super Mode, because I try to remember Armada as little as possible. But I love the looks of the colors on the mold. I like the clear missiles, that they blend a lot better. You know, they don't draw your attention like the other missiles did on G-Axis and on Starscream. I mean, if you're wanting a new Seeker mold that's not the classic Seeker, there's nothing really wrong with this. It's just, again, it's either Thundercracker or Super Mode Starscream. It just depends on
if you want the full set in Skywarp, you're going to have to get it through Funpub.
Yeah, that's true.
But now,
is that true?
Now, has it been announced that Skywarp is a Funpub?
Yes.
It was, Skywarp and Ramjet, right? One of them's the free figure.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm sorry. I'd forgotten about that.
But that doesn't mean Takara couldn't do it.
Oh, right. And
because Takara just doesn't care.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I'll be honest. That mold has kind of grown on me since I picked up the Starscream because it was on sale or clearance. And then I picked up the G-Axis because it was the first one I had seen in 6 months, literally. I might get this at some point. I don't know. It looks good. It's just, again, it's
our motto.
We're not
going to see it on shelf. So.
Well, I know. I'm just saying it's, you know, if I see it and I'm buying something and I need something, toss me over a free shipping amount. It's Armada, and Armada holds absolutely no sway with me at all, other than I'm glad it's over.
I love, you know, the toys.
Yeah, I wasn't going to say, I wasn't going to get it, but now I'm looking at this, I kind of really like that as a Seeker mold.
I like the colors on it.
I love the colors.
Well, the wings, how they come up on the back in robot mode. I think I might pick this up and Skywarp too, so I can complete the trio.
And I will be honest, if anything is going to replace the Classics mold for Seekers, I'd rather it be this than the Fallen Cybertron jet designs.
You will get a lot of people to debate you on that, but
use a couple more of those Fall of Cybertron jets.
Tired of it. I actually agree with Don on this.
I do too, actually.
Yeah. I know a lot of people love those, but they're just not my thing. Oh, that's up for pre-order now. $30.
Which is not bad for an import figure.
And it comes out in January? Yeah, I'll do that. Buying stuff on the show. Shouldn't be doing that. But I just did. Okay, so let's see here. So moving along, up next. This news item popped up after the show last week, so we didn't get a chance to talk about it. Matt, tell us about the new Masterpiece toy that we're going to get.
Okay, so you know how we've already gotten four uses of the Lamborghini mold? Well, here comes number five. This one is MP14C Clampdown, which is based on the E-Hobby release of the Diaclone, the police car version. It's basically Red Alert with a black head.
Yeah.
Plus, apparently, you get Sideswipe's pile drivers with it, according to the write-up.
I'd buy it.
They should just drop the ABC thing, or you know what I mean? The C is for clamp down, but just drop that because they're repainting these things so many times. They're going to run into issues where two are going to have the same letter, and then they're going to be doing like CA. So they should just do, you know, this is 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, because it's getting ridiculous with the amount of repaints we're getting on these guys. I mean, they're good molds, but
the Lamborghini is a very good mold. It's definitely one of my favorites of the Masterpiece line.
Yeah,
it's nice. It looks really nice. I have a tentative pre-order on it. I'm considering dropping it because it's just too close to Red Alert. I mean, really, the only things that are different is the head is black instead of red. It's got a little bit of black on the hood / chest instead of a little bit of red. And it's a police car instead of a fire chief car. There's not a whole lot to differentiate it from the Red Alert that you already have.
I like the way it looks. It's a blend of Sideswipe and Red Alert, kind of like it's a mid-transition phase. So it's definitely a nice little deco, but the character-wise, I have no connection. It's like Tiger Tracks. They're nice recolors, but I have no character connection. And with so much coming out, like in our next news story, I'd rather put the money towards something else.
Yeah.
The really terrifying thing is if they're going the clamp down route, we'll probably get Deep Cover as well, which is just another black use of the mold. I think black and blue, I think that one is, which is pretty much not very far off from G2 Sideswipe that we already have.
But do y'all think this is basically just as a stopgap to have product on the shelf while the Tracks and Road Rage is delayed, or just another mold?
No, they totally had this plan. They're getting mileage, as much mileage as they can out of these molds.
I mean, there's no way that on a dime they could just pop this out because there's a delay on something else.
No,
These Masterpiece figures are not cheap to design, so they're going to milk it for all they can.
Yeah, it's just.
But I still haven't seen my powered convoy. Yeah, getting a little impatient.
Yeah, exactly. So, Diecast, tell us about the new photos from the Legends toys that we've been looking forward to.
All right.
And I can't show it because we just had a crash, which I hope we weren't going to have, but we did. So.
Okay. I'll try and be descriptive then. So these are the three molds, the RC mold, the wind blade mold, and the animated Arachnia mold.
Yeah, Black Arachnia.
Black Arachnia. Yeah. And they're repainted as Nightbeat. What's the...
What?
Blue,
Nightbeat.
Nightbird.
Or Nightbird, I'm sorry. Nightbird, Slipstream, and Black Arachnia.
Black Arachnia.
So, and yeah, they look really good. I mean, they're coming out nice. Even Nightbird, which I didn't think was going to be a very strong one, looks pretty nice. The
she
colors
looks perfect.
Real, yeah.
Yeah, other than the gigantic RC backpack, I think it looks fantastic.
I love it.
Does she have a screaming face?
No.
It's
like a hood thing over her head.
Yeah.
She's a ninja.
With the faceplate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see the purple faceplate, but then underneath it almost looks like a screaming face from the photo I'm looking at tformers.com.
She might be screaming because of... I'm not going to go there. Go ahead. Sorry.
And Slipstream is nice. She's got a smirk on her face, which kind of lines up with the Slipstream we got from the Transformers Collectors Club. Which was a repaint of Starscream. And she also looks very nice. The colors on these are excellent.
Yeah, Takara's done a really good job handling these retools.
Yes, I covet that Slipstream.
I covet
above,
them all.
Above all others.
Yeah,
The Black Arachnia is looking very boobalicious.
Way better than it has any right to.
Yeah.
I had not a lot of hope for that, but that looks great.
Yeah, mixing an animated mold in with the Generations just does not sound like it's something that's going to work, but
it does.
They pulled it off quite nicely.
Yeah.
And the face really does give me that Beast Wars vibe that it should have.
She looks like Black Arachnia.
Yeah, I think those are due out around the end of next month.
Yeah, end of November.
I'll be honest with you, I'm not going to stop collecting, but I could probably stop collecting after these come out. These are like that important to me, especially that Nightbird.
That's pretty strong. That's,
yeah, I know.
That's
if only it came
statement.
With the Dr. Fujiyama.
I know. But my collection's big enough. If I just had to pick a random point to stop collecting and I got these, I'd be pretty happy. I love them. I really love them.
Yeah, I mean, I was on the fence about these when I first saw the prototype images and I was like, I might as well. I'm really glad I pre-ordered these.
Oh, and I jumped on these pre-orders right away.
Immediately, yeah.
Because I could definitely see this being an RC situation where they didn't have enough stock or enough run to get them out to everyone that wants them. Now that we're starting to see like the final images.
Sadly, though, looking at that picture of Nightbird, it looks like we're not getting the upgraded Combiner Hunter's hands. It's still going to have the problematic open-handed RC version that doesn't really hold your weapons very well.
It's hard to tell from the photo. Well, yeah,
look at the swords.
Yeah.
Well, now, Melvar, I'm not sure if you can tell here. There we go. So that is that what you're talking about there as far as the open hand?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, Marcy's been sitting on my desk for weeks now, and this gun has stayed in her hand, no problem. Mm-hmm. I've never had this gun fall out. So I mean, has that been an issue? Because this is the American version.
It's the fact that the small block that's molded into the hand prevents the handle of the gun or the swords from actually fitting all the way in her hand. So she's
Is studying.
No, it's just it's a little tall in her hand, but it's never actually fallen out.
However, an X-Acto knife takes care of that problem in about 2 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay. Let's go ahead and move along. So, hey, tfradio.net/Amazon. Our friend of the show, Cosmic Duck, recently bought a Destiny-themed PlayStation 4, and you can too. Go to tfradio.net, click on Amazon, and it'll take you to Don's video diet. If Don bought a new PC through tfradio.net/Amazon, he might not be having all these issues with his video.
Yeah, yeah.
I blame Massey here in the keyboard.
No, I think you need a new...
I think you need tfradio.net/Amazon.
Yeah.
You could go buy Massey a cage.
You could buy Massey a cage.
And then you would never see me again because I would be dead in a corner somewhere.
But
yes. I want to mention that he tweeted that he used tfradio.net/Amazon, and I did not realize I wasn't following him, so I followed him right away.
Oh,
so
yeah.
If you want me to follow you, that's like an instant follow.
Oh, that's an
if
instant
follow. If you buy something on Amazon, tfradio.net/Amazon,
oh, absolutely.
I'm following you.
Absolutely.
And if you tweet it at us, definitely I'm following you because you're a good person.
Just saying, holidays are coming up.
Yep.
Go ahead and get those orders in early. Doesn't cost you a cent more.
Yeah.
And also,
I don't know about you guys, but I shop a ton on Amazon around the holidays because there are always good deals on Amazon during the holidays. People tweeting stuff all the time like, that's a good gift, and that's really cheap. So
yeah,
Amazon is where I did most of my Christmas shopping last year.
I did a fair amount of mine there last year too, at least half of it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And plus, a lot of times Amazon will run specials like... If you need to get over the hump for the free shipping, at one point they had Generations Rhinox for $4.75.
Oh yeah,
as a little add-on item to get you over the free shipping limit. So you never know what you're going to find. You just got to hunt for it.
Or if you're stuck having to get like over the hump to get the free shipping, you can just sign up for Amazon Prime through our website too, tfradio.net/Amazon. Sign up for Amazon Prime. It's great. Yeah. Hey, I do have to say this. So I listened to some podcasts, and like the show start off with like two advertisements. Then like the conversation will just randomly become an advertisement. So I think for April Fools, I'm going to do an episode of RSC as if it were like one of these large farm podcasts. And it's going to be pretty great. I'm basically going to model it after like the Jim Ross podcast. Just as an April Fool's joke.
I'm pretty sure Hasbro should be paying us by now.
Yeah, it just, yeah.
Because we do so much for them.
We do so much for them.
Yes. Yeah. I'm just joking.
Hey, Brian, advertise
your
barbecue.
It's not like we criticize them or anything.
Advertise what, John?
Your barbecue sauce.
Yes, that's a great idea. I think, in all seriousness, I think I'll do that just to see what it's like, and I'll probably hate myself.
Your North Carolina barbecue sauce.
Like, you mean like a bottle of vinegar? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, so moving along. So we got new photos of Carnifex the Butcher, which is MMC's unofficial not Overlord based on the way that he appears in the IDW universe. It looks really nice.
It is pretty glorious.
Yeah. It's pretty fantastic.
You know, even though it's not Master Force accurate, I like it's a more updated look.
Yeah.
He's even standing still, he looks more dynamic as far as with, you know, not everything being quite as blocky and squared off. And again, the great thing, this is what I like seeing third parties do. We've all mentioned this from time to time. Doing characters that it's doubtful we're going to see Hasbro or Takara do anytime soon. Because I would like to think if we could have gotten an Encore Overlord by this point, like Lyo Kaiser or the other Japanese-only figures, I would like to think we would have seen them by now.
Oh, yeah.
So, with the BTS Nova Lord having been canceled some time ago, this will be the best way to get an accurate representation of the character for your shelf, probably a lot cheaper than what a G1 Overlord would go for.
Yeah, I like to.
Not that it's going to be cheap. This is going to be an expensive figure. This is about the size of Masterpiece Ultra Magnus.
Yeah,
right.
I like the look of it better than the Nova Lord.
But Overlord is supposed to be gigantic, so it works.
Yeah.
But again, if you look at what a non-yellowed, complete enough to get by a G1 Overlord would run you, it's still going to be a cheaper alternative.
How much does a decent Overlord run now?
The last one I saw at BotCon, there was no yellowing, no Power Masters. It was missing a radar dish or two, I think. had the ramps, and it was $650.
I hate myself for selling my boxed one for what I paid for it.
I kind of hate you too.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, the jet mode, I mean, you can see the feet there, or the back, you know, it's not completely hidden in every situation, but honestly, he's going to be in robot mode most of the time anyway, you know. But he looks good. Hopefully the price will be affordable ish for a lot of people, so they can have an Overlord in their collection. Even if you're not a fan of Master Force, and you should be, and you can get it right now for $15 off Amazon, this will be a great records piece.
Here's somebody trying to sell the exact same one that I sold. Of course, this one's sealed. I'm looking at eBay right now. I bought mine for Don, your video. I bought mine for $400. Of course, this was 10 years ago. The person is trying to sell it for $2,100.
And it's not AFA graded? It's no. Just sealed?
Just sealed.
Ow.
I bought mine for $400. I opened it. I applied stickers. I loved it for a few years. And then I sold it for what I paid for it.
Ooh, it's AFA graded. Ooh.
This one's not. No. This one's not.
No. I'm not saying being AFA would justify that price. I'm just saying that
it
generally
put a little faith into it. But even though AFA doesn't mean a lot to me.
Yeah, it doesn't to me either. It's just, and that's a whole conversation we can have, you know, as its own mini cast.
I think we do that already, or as a topic,
not like
something?
On AFA.
Okay.
Does anyone care about AFA here?
No,
not particularly.
Not really. I mean, because none of us are MIBers.
Listeners, you know? Might.
Yeah.
Men in Black.
Here's a Japanese version. That was the European version. Here's a Japanese one for $800.
You know, I have G1 Overlord still, and I love him. He's under a sheet right now to keep hopefully.
I love that, Don.
But
is it like a blackout curtain, or
didn't Massey break him?
Yeah, no, he not Massey attacked my ankle. I fell back into the shelf, and of course, I have Optimal Optimus on there that could have fallen off and broken, and I wouldn't have been too beat up. But the only thing that falls off the shelf is Overlord. And he broke two of the little interior black clips where the leg pegs into the jets. Yeah. Two of those. I mean, so his leg's a little wobbly, but he's still standing.
Hey, Don, I didn't realize that was your story. Do you want to talk about Perfect Effects Xerxes?
Yeah, I can talk about that. That is going to be. So let me get to the show notes because I did not read that yet.
Oh, well, I'll talk about it then because I read it. No, go ahead.
Okay. Xerxes, basically, we're getting it's Nemesis Leo Prime in Nemesis colors.
Leo Convoy.
Well, yeah, Leo Convoy. But with a lot of red that you don't. Normally, red is a small highlight color, or if it's a deep amber, or whatever the case may be, on your black primes, your Nemesis primes, whatever. This guy is just baked in red, and it's just. It's
nice looking.
It is. It's just a very odd color scheme.
Don't need it.
To be a Nemesis alternative.
So, of course, everybody knows, I think, that Xerxes, the Leonidas is the name of the Leo Convoy. So this is Xerxes. Xerxes was the Persian emperor where Leonidas was the king of Sparta.
I'm actually glad you explained that because I never saw 300. So
that's from history, but it's also from
300. Yeah. I mean, it's...
I love it.
Sorry, when I was in school, European history was my area. Not
that was
did
European
that
history.
Come
when
out?
He, when
that
he
is
was
Europe,
in school,
Don.
That history didn't happen yet. So,
oh, funny.
Did that I'm sequel old. That was about Xerxes come out?
I don't know.
The 300 Part 2, whatever.
I think a sequel did come out, and it wasn't very good, from what I understand.
I mean, but yeah, the last I checked, the Peloponnesian War was. Europe.
Just saying, watching 300 does not amount to a history lesson.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't think about that. I just didn't.
I know I'm picking.
Whatever. But I mean, it's a good. I mean, I like what Leonidas looks like. It's just I don't have a big, huge need for masterpiece. Well, new upgraded beast modes. Now that's not counting Masterpiece Optimus Primal next year. Because it's primal. But I mean, you know, if they did a Masterpiece Cheetor or a Masterpiece Rhinox, I'd be kind of interested, but not, you know, oh my God, must have. But I like the way this looks.
It's a really nice looking. It's a really nice looking toy, honestly. And it wasn't the Peloponnesian War. I'm sorry. It was the Persian War. But of course, it was the Battle of Thermopylae. Let's see here.
So what? It was a fight over if you passed go or not?
Yes, that's exactly right.
Okay.
Way to go, Don. But yeah, so...
They didn't collect $200, Don, in case you were wondering.
No. Okay. The Persians collected 300 Spartans.
Oh, God.
So...
But that means they had a killing in the market.
Yes, they did. That's very true. Diecast, tell us about this new model kit.
80s Dream announces UV-01 model kit based on Megatron from the Transformers universe. It's a model kit. It should almost be able to get licensed because it doesn't look like it's a transforming model kit.
And it's from Universe.
And it's from Universe. And
WTF.
I don't really care.
It's so
weird. Oh, you mean
weird.
That online game that died after 4 or 5 months?
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is.
I don't care.
Well, he does kind of scale nice with Evasion Mode Prime. If you want something to go with your Evasion Mode Prime, I would suggest the DX9 upgrade kit to turn him into a movie God Genera instead.
Yeah, yeah. So, John, what about this new toy from Unique Toys?
Well, it is, I assume, masterpiece-ish, just like the not Octane. It is not Sandstorm. So all we've got are resin, I guess, images of all three modes of not Sandstorm, Y03 Sworder. Is that how you would say
Sworder,
that?
Sworder, yeah, I guess.
Sworder.
S-Worder.
He's okay. He's all right looking. I mean, you know, Sandstorm's not the most like impressive source material, I would say. But you know, I don't know what to say. Just like the not Octane.
Oh, now I've
the
I've
alt
watched...
modes are really nice. The robot mode is kind of you know, he's okay. But again, Sandstorm is like that source material. You don't have a lot to work with.
This is one I can skip
easily. While not masterpiece,
the car mode is infinitely skippable.
While not masterpiece, and while not really necessarily authentic to the G1 toy, the Generations toy is still an amazing toy. And
yes,
this looks so inferior in every conceivable way.
Yeah. Now, again,
I wouldn't go that far, but it's not something I need to spend money on.
Now, I was talking about switching gears here just for a second. Their companion piece, provider that Brian and I were just talking about before show.
Which is beautiful.
He looks absolute. If any one of the three G1 triple changers needed an update, it'd be Octane.
Oh, yeah.
And
or Broadside.
Well, Broadside got it with Assaulter to a degree.
Oh, I'm thinking official. I forgot about Assaulter.
Yeah, so... But this is definitely kind of – this is a lot more meh than what we're seeing with Provider.
If it wasn't for that Generations toy, I would probably be all about this.
I mean, it doesn't look bad, but I think there's a – it just – like Masterpiece Ironhide, this doesn't quite – whatever it is, it doesn't do it for
it
me.
It doesn't have it. It doesn't have the it factor.
Yeah.
Welcome to third party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, a lot of the third party is really nice and really impressive, but it's not it.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely considering Provider.
Oh, it's beautiful. I pre-ordered it.
Yeah, I will be as well.
It's beautiful.
The size is a little bit, in robot mode, I think it should be scaled with Chigger. So that's kind of, but I'll probably just end up getting it and putting it on a different shelf.
Yeah.
To kind of not, yeah.
Skull matters not. We have new photos of DX9's Carrie, which we agreed that the name Carrie is based on the fact that he's the carrier of the Matrix, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, nobody wants this, right?
No, nobody wants this.
I've been waiting on this damn thing for months. Give it to me.
It's really nice. It is, of course, the third party, not Rodimus, and it looks really good. The sad thing is, I thought this looked so much better than Masterpiece Rodimus, but when I saw them side by side, they're actually more comparable than I thought.
I wish we knew someone who reviewed it, because that would be cool.
Did you review it?
Yes.
Did you already post it?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Tell us about it.
It is awesome. I really like the transformation. It's amazing. He's really good size in robot mode. Definitely masterpiece sized. It's amazing how small the vehicle mode is.
Yeah, I was going to say, Diecast, if you didn't bring it up, there's a picture in this group at T-Formers where he is in vehicle mode beside of his Target Master. It is amazing how much parts compression there is on this transformation. It is just, I mean, it's. I would say, now this is just me saying this, this is as close to mass shifting as we're going to get in a toy until, because it's just, he's standing side by side with MP10, but the amount of parts compression, and even with the backpack the way it is, that backpack is not horrible.
Yeah, it's one of those transformations, and everyone who, you know, knows third party knows this. There's some transformations that are not fun at all,
yes,
and that are difficult and not really give you that good feeling. Like, I really like the way this carry gives you that. It's a fun transformation.
Good.
It's not too complicated, but it's a very satisfying transformation.
That's good. That's really good.
Yeah. It's not like he's being crammed into a shell and the shell's folding around him. He actually, everything has a place. It's kind of like, I wouldn't go that far.
I mean, it is kind of forming around the shell, but it's fun. It's satisfying, and it's not something you see in third party all the time.
Couple questions. One, the shell. This it's not like Masterpiece Rodimus. The trailer is not a separate piece, right?
No.
So, two,
it's all one piece.
There is no hot rod mode.
There is no hot rod.
Okay, I can live with that. I mean, the amazing thing, like you said, is that it's one piece, where Rodimus, or Masterpiece Rodimus, was two, and it was super frustrating getting that, for me anyway, to get the Winnebago mode attached to the car.
And this is where I think Unique Toys got it wrong, that DX9 got it right, even though there is some similarities between the companies or designs. Or if you're gonna scale something in Masterpiece scale, try to make it the robot mode, which is what DX9 did here with Carry, and the Unique Toys provider, which is the Octane.
Yeah,
that one is not really scaled robot wise Masterpiece. It's kind of in the middle where it should be, but it's still a really nice, transformation and good looking figure.
Why don't you tell us about Pandemus?
It's a really big Scorponok.
I like how T-Formers put it. I don't remember who wrote the story, but they call it color photos of Scorponok-ish third-party figure, and I like that because it's definitely Scorponok.
It's a pretty stylized take on Scorponok.
But it's very stylized, yeah.
But I mean,
a lot of people are saying there's a lot of paint, so it's very busy, some people are saying. When we saw it in the prototype form, it looked really impressive. There's something about it, and I just don't want to know what it is now that it's painted. I'm just not, I don't feel like urge I felt to get it.
I looked really busy when I saw it at BotCon. It looked off. And it looks better now, but it still looks off. Go ahead, Don.
Well, I think, to me, it looks more like if you had a Scorpion alt mode, this is the kind of robot you would get from it. It looks more insectoid in robot mode, but I think the colors makes it seem smaller. than maybe what it is, because we saw the unpainted prototype, and the thing was just massive. And I just think the paint draws your eyes away from the height and the bulk of the figure. And so it doesn't quite, the impressive factor doesn't come across. But as far as busy, I don't think it's too busy at all. I think
it sounds to me like you guys are just trying to come up with excuses to not spend $350.
I don't want it. That's the main excuse.
$350, maybe like $450.
Don't want it.
Yeah, it's not going to. I don't need a Scorponok upgraded figure like I wanted Utopia.
Yeah,
but I will be keeping my eyes on that. If and when they do Fortress Maximus, you know, I don't want to have to go back in.
Nah, don't need it.
Try to pick it up.
Yeah, I'm gonna go. Third party needs to be careful with these huge transforming figures because that's really what I want Hasbro to do and do it at an affordable cost.
But the thing is, though, we got Metroplex Win, and we haven't really had anything big since then.
13.
Hasbro, the days.
Well, Devastator. Like, I mean, that's the next line in the Titan series. So we are getting bigger figures. So, and I think we're still gonna continue to get bigger figures because they're gonna have Titan Wars.
Titan Wars.
Yeah. So, I mean,
there may only be one or two Titans in the entire Titan Wars series.
Out of all the figures that have been gigantic, one of the ones you think about is Scorponok. You know, you think of Fort Max, you think of Metroplex, you think of who else do you really think of?
Sky
Unicron,
Gary.
Huh?
Sky Gary.
Yeah.
Omega Supreme, kind of?
Yeah. Omega Supreme. So, I mean, there's only a handful anyway that really makes sense as Titans. Mm-hmm. So, the only one that I'd really like to see a third party take a crack at, if it was really good, and I would be willing to spend $400 or $500 for it, is a Unicron. But it would have to be really good. Yeah.
Or maybe Diatlas, because he's a big figure.
Fans Project is doing a Diatlas.
They are?
Okay. I believe he's one of the next ones in the Warbot series, actually.
Oh, okay. I did not.
I was thinking of Diatlas when I said Sky Gary, but Sky Gary is big.
Yeah. Of course, now the Sky Gary, you can get the Brave version for $25 in a lot of places. But I like it. It's just not on my must-get list like Utopia was.
I really want to see it now that it's painted in the other mode.
Yeah, that would be kind of nice.
Because there's a base mode and there's, you know, the Scorpion mode. And I don't know if we've seen the Scorpion mode. Have we?
I don't remember.
I think all we've seen is just the unpainted robot mode prototype and now this one.
But Matt may be a little bit right. It may be me trying to convince myself that I don't need to spend $400.
I just don't want it. I'm not tempted at all. Okay, so let's see here. Anything else? That's it for the news. Hey, so on the network this week, RFC Minicast, episode 28. That's the one where John, Don, and Matt revisit What's Wrong with DC Comics.
Part 2.
Yeah.
And Melvar and I still talked about an hour and a half after we stopped recording about the issues we have with DC. So you could have got another two or three podcasts out of the post show.
We honestly could have kept going, but it was late and we both have to get up really early to go to work. So
Yep. Also, Being Awesome with Rob Springer. Rob talks about Year of the Monkey, Optimus Primal. And a surprise visit from Vic Sage of one of the Nerdist podcasts. So it's pretty cool. Superhero Time presents one episode of Star Trek: The Offspring. I don't remember that episode.
That's the one where Data's daughter. Data's daughter.
Oh, lol. Oh,
yeah.
I didn't remember the name of the episode. Okay.
Yeah. Feels at the end.
I love you, Father. Okay.
Classic.
Yeah, Superhero Time, episode 251. And I started another podcast. If you want to listen to it, you can find it on my Facebook page. It's probably not what you're expecting. Or you can go to briankilby.com/radio. If you're a fan of Don, you might enjoy it.
I in no part authorize, endorse, or support this new podcast effort.
BrianKilby.com/radio. Okay, so people are loving it. This is one that I can actually share with my friends and not feel like a total nerd. Yep. Okay, so it's terrible. So on T-Formers, Matt, why don't you tell us what's up?
Okay, this week on T-Formers, we have an article on the newly released Unite Warriors Grand Scourge, and apparently it has a comic pack in with it, a bilingual comic pack in, both English and Japanese, that gives you some backstory on him, on the character. There's an article, so why does Takara Tomy Ultra Magnus come with Alpha Trion anyway?
Which, that's a very informative article.
It is a very, very informative article. Apparently there's a Generations webcomic that explains why Alpha Trion comes with Ultra Magnus.
Pretty cool.
And at what point this happens in Transformers history.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And also on the network this week, we have Unite Warriors Streetwise, side-by-side comparison with Combiner War Streetwise, where you can see the differences in deco, differences in paint apps. They have comparison shots of both robot and vehicle modes.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. It looks so much better. Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
The vehicle mode looks fairly plain, but it's a really nice off-white color that I like.
Yeah, I have that pre-ordered.
So do I.
So have that pre-ordered. God, it's beautiful. Okay, so follow us on Twitter at TF Radio. You can follow me personally at B Kilby. If you were following me this week, you saw all of my weird complaints about Mario Maker on the Wii U. Long story short, there are not enough people who are good at designing games. But it's still a lot of fun. Let's see here. Matt is not on Twitter. Diecast, you are?
I am at Diecast 2.
And did you tweet out the photo of the Corvette?
My phone was installing iOS 9, so not yet. Okay. But it looks like it's done, so I'll do it now.
And Don?
I can be reached at HMRC, the number 4, EVR.
Awesome. And John?
That John D.
Excellent. Awesome, guys. Well, that will do it for this week. For the guys, I've been your host, Brian Kilby. We will see you later. Have a good one.
Take care, everybody.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/TF Radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you. Radio Free Cybertron, the original Transformers internet radio show since 1999. 100% girlfriend free since 1999.